known as the movie capital of the world, bringing films to audiences that provide entertainment and at times thought-provoking drama, Hollywood recently hosted a different kind of media through a unique forum broadcast live worldwide on Supreme Master Television on Saturday, July 26, 2008. The Climate Change International Conference was held at the Pacific Design Center in West Hollywood, California, USA. Organized by the Supreme Master Qinghai International Association, it was a conference that brought together green Hollywood celebrities and notable speakers. Co-hosted by Emmy Award-winning television journalist and vegan, Jane Velez Mitchell, the event was informative and the subject matter highly relevant. Three panels were conducted, each with a different theme: the urgent scientific facts of the climate crisis, its spiritual perspectives, and the transformational role of the media. Invited as a special guest speaker, Supreme Master Qinghai graciously attended via live video conference to answer questions from the panelists as well as the audience. We now invite you to join us for the rebroadcast of the Climate Change International Conference.
In the World Peace Diet, one of the things that early on in the book I talk about is that the last revolution that this culture ever experienced was about between 8 and 10,000 years ago, and I call it the herding revolution, where we basically, it actually started in the country that is now Iraq, started to own animals. The first time people started owning animals, seeing them merely as property. That was the fundamental reduction, and with that came everything else. We started owning human beings, slavery happened, we started having this rich elite that emerged, and they owned the capital. Capital means head, as in head of livestock. So the first capitalism was 10,000 years ago with this wealthy elite that emerged that owned the capital. They wanted more land. They wanted more capital. The fastest way to get rich quick back then was to steal, was actually to go to war and fight against other capitalists to steal their livestock or to win their livestock by defeating them in battle. The very first word for war in this planet that we know of is the old Sanskrit word gavya, which means simply the desire for more cattle. That was the first word for war, and people who lost, basically their livestock became the property of the ones who won, and the men became slaves, the women became concubines, and it was really a brutal time, and it brought out the worst in people. The men had to become hard and tough and brutal and disconnected from their feelings. Women became reduced to mere property that were bought and sold like chattel property. If you look at the very first writings that we have, the ancient Epic of Gilgamesh, the old Sumerian writings, the Iliad, the Odyssey, the Old Testament writings, the first ones, you see by the time the historic period emerged 3,000 years ago, the whole thing is established. There's slavery, and there's women or property, and nature, wildlife, has also been reduced to being the status of mere pests. You know, they maybe will interfere with our livestock, so we want to get rid of them. And whoever owned the most capital, the most sheep and goats and cows, they were the ones who controlled society. They controlled all the institutions. They controlled religion and education. And is it any different today? I mean, why is it that it is still today that making war is the most profitable thing for the wealthy elite? Because we're still eating the same food. At the end of the day, we go home and we eat the flesh of animals that have been brutalized, and we eat the secretions of the same animals that have been brutalized. And so we keep the same institutions in place, and that's the reason we've had so much trouble making any significant progress in this world, in all these efforts for justice and sustainability, because we're still eating the same food. We're still fundamentally reinforcing within ourselves the idea that might makes right, the idea that we can exclude other living beings from the sphere of our compassion, and the idea that war is a good way to make money. And this is underlying this culture. This is the living fury at the core of our culture that no one can look at. It's taboo to talk about this. So once we start to see it, then we get the understanding of the big picture of our culture, then we realize why veganism is so essential, why it's the most powerful thing anyone can do to bless our world, and why, I mean, there's nothing more benevolent and more sacred and noble, I think, that anyone can do than to take on the task of spreading this message of veganism. Because at the very core of veganism, the other thing is the domination of the feminine. These animals that are most brutalized in this whole system are female animals. On dairy farms, on factory farms for pigs, chickens, cows, fish, all of this stuff, basically it's the female animals and the female reproductive cycles that are mercilessly dominated. And so we would never be able to do this to these females if we hadn't disconnected from our own innate wisdom and sensitivity that naturally knows that the most sacred parts of our lives, the most sacred things in nature, are mothers giving birth to babies, caring for those babies, nursing those babies, nesting. This is something we should have a sense of honor and respect for. And yet dairy farms and all these places, the females are confined, their babies are stolen, we take away their products. And so it not only does it harm them, but it harms us. The ancient spiritual teachings of all the traditions emphasize when you harm someone else, you harm yourself more than you harm them. That whatever we would want most for ourselves, we should give to others. So if I want freedom and peace and joy and love for myself, I'm called to give that to others. If I give to others misery and enslavement and domination, then we end up being dominated. That's why we find more and more our culture, we are becoming enslaved, is because we are enslaving others. If we want to be free, we have to free others. And this is the teaching of liberation that I think we all know at the core of our being. So I remember growing up in Concord, Massachusetts, and I just ate the food, you know, massive amounts of meat, dairy, and eggs. And I remember when I was about 8 years old, I said to my mother, "So, is this what everybody eats?" And she said, "Yeah, this is what everybody eats." And then she said, "Well, there are vegetarians." And, you know, and she said it like, "But don't worry, you'll never meet one. They live on another planet. You know, they're like far away, and you know, don't worry." And I remember I grew up, and when I was about 12 or 13 years old, I went to this dairy farm. I went away to a summer camp in Vermont, and it was affiliated with a dairy farm that was organic. And this was like in the mid-60s, I guess, or something. And it was so interesting because this is the kind of place you think that nothing but good can come from, right? A Vermont organic dairy farm. And I remember we went down and we were all taught to catch our own chicken and to put the chicken down on this board on the ground and then to put her head between the two nails. And then in your other hand, you had your axe and you just cut her head off and she'd run around spouting blood. And then when she, you know, expired, we would take her body and we'd put it through the hot water and we would eat the chicken. And I remember as a kid of maybe 12 or 13, I had no problem with that. I had been well indoctrinated. I had gone through 12 or 13 years of intense indoctrination 3 times a day, and I knew, as a matter of fact, that a chicken is just a chicken. It has no soul, and it was put here by God for us to use, and if I didn't eat this chicken or this meat, I would die within 24 hours of a protein deficiency. You know, that would be it. I'd be dead. So you just have to do it. It's set up like that. You know, and I remember a little later, we did the same thing to a cow. A cow wasn't producing enough milk. And we were brought down to this organic dairy, and we shot the cow in the head 3 times with a rifle, and she fell to the ground, and he cut her head off, and the blood was everywhere, and he wiped his brow very calmly and said, "You have to do that. You have to cut those arteries while the heart is still beating. Otherwise, the flesh would be disgusting. We humans would never want to eat it because we don't like soggy flesh." And so underlying and behind the curtain of our culture, there is a massive amount of killing. 75 million animals a day, just in the United States alone, are being slaughtered for food. These are numbers that are mind-boggling. And that's the background of this culture. And unless we begin to look behind the curtain of our denial and come to terms with this violence, not only to the human beings who have to do this kind of brutality on a massive scale and what it does to them. If you just read books about what slaughterhouse workers and factory farm workers go through, the violence, the spousal abuse, the drug addiction, the alcohol addiction, the misery in their lives, about 1 billion people are chronically malnourished and hungry. Another 1 billion people are chronically obese and overweight because they're gorging on grain-fed animals. And the massive devastation to the environment and the disconnectedness underlying that that's been injected into us by our culture and by our religion, by every institution, because we don't want to look at this because it goes against our fundamental nature. Thank you. So the underlying idea is to awaken to our natural compassion. And I think this is the great calling that we all have. This is the underlying benevolent transformation, benevolent revolution, benevolent evolution that our culture yearns for and longs for. And we can see right now, literally, it's on our plate. We now have 3 years and 4 months, thank you, to make the major changes. And I just want to invite all of us in this room and all everyone who's listening to this or watching this at any time to go into our communities and spread this message. I was just at a retreat on my book, The World Peace Diet. 40 people went out, and they're now teaching the ideas in the World Peace Diet to in their communities. We can do that with all modes and forms of vegan education. It's a grassroots movement. It's not going to be coming probably for a while to the mass media, but it can. But it will when we get strong enough. So keep spreading this wonderful message, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
What a fascinating conversation and discussion we're having. If only every human being on the planet could hear this discussion. And as we continue our discussion, Lionel Friedberg, do you have another question for Supreme Master regarding this issue of spirituality and evolution and how we need to regard other life as sacred if we are to survive?
I would like to get some feedback from you as to your audience. Are we actually getting this message through to people? And if so, how are we able to extend? You know, I think Supreme Master Television is a wonderful institution, and I want to commend you from the depth of my heart for what you are doing. How can we get more of this into the world, into society? How can we reach more people? Is there anything that you can advise us on this?
Thank you, sir, for trusting me. We are doing just whatever we can, not just on television, but the people from the association, they're going out of their way, they're printing thousands, hundreds, thousands, millions of leaflets containing the information about global warming, SOS, and the alternative lifestyle of a vegan diet. And they go out, they put the flyers in their pocket, in their handbag, and they distribute it wherever they go, on the bus, on the train, in the restaurant. I even do it myself. Whenever I go out and when I see some appropriate situation, I would also hand out a leaflet about SOS and vegetarian diet. And also nowadays we have emails, we have internet, we do whatever we can. There's no other way that I can even suggest. What you are doing already is very wonderful. And what Dr. Turtle has been doing is wonderful. He wrote books, some people wrote books, some people go on TV, some people go on radio, some people write articles on the newspapers, some people go out and distributing flyers. And some people gather information about vegetarian diet and the urgency of our planet, and they just give it to everyone that they can. And that's all we can do for now, so. Or else I think we can hire an airplane and go in the air and let all the flyers fly down everywhere. What else do you think we should do? Maybe you have a better idea. The governments must involve, the media must involve, because it should be official, the vegetarian diet. Vegetarian or vegan should be the norm in the society right now, should be the official solution, the immediate solution, the immediate effect for our planet. The government, the media, should please help. Anyway, we could spread out whatever way we can, because if the government and the media doesn't join us, then we're a little bit short and maybe slow, but we do it. we do individually whatever we can. All the vegetarian, vegans people out there, please just print any leaflet you can concerning urgency of the planet and the benefit of vegetarian diet in connection with saving the planet. Please do it. Please don't be shy anymore. It's time now. I know you don't want to boast about you are being vegetarian, but why not? This is a noble way of life.
Thank you, Supreme Master, for such appropriate advice.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I loved hearing Supreme Master, and as we listen to an amazing panel that we have here today and try to process all of this, it occurs to me that while we are here pushing for evolution and pushing for compassion and pushing for kindness, unfortunately, a lot of the country is being brainwashed by hamburger ads and being conditioned to eat more and more meat. And so I was hoping perhaps Supreme Master could share some of her experience and wisdom about how we get to change the media's outlook so that the mainstream media does promote a healthy diet, given all we know about global warming and the impact of a high cholesterol diet on health. How do we make the mainstream media take a fair approach to this issue and not minimize it or ridicule it?
Yes, Jane, I was asking myself the same. But you see, somebody has informed me that the media are sometimes or oftentimes controlled by a big corporate company, and sometimes they are even mid-corporate. So we can go direct to these so-called bosses by approaching them personally, talking to them, or sending them email, giving them leaflets. We change from the root. And once the boss changed, maybe the employee changed. And I also do hope that the journalists, the reporters, the media agents do remember their noble job as informative agents for the people. That's why people buy newspapers. That's why people watch television. Because in the daily life, everyone is so busy to earn a living. So they rely on the noble journalism to inform them what's going on the planet. They also rely on the government to do this job for them, to lead them into the right and beneficial direction. Well, just in case some people want to know about how precious our life is and how we are really treating this kind of precious life, I'm going to give you a very brief info. I think you know some of it already, and maybe some of you don't know. Some people out there don't know. So I'm going to inform you about the cost of a meat diet in our lives. Apart from costing lives, they are costing a lot of taxpayers' money. And I'm surprised that we are paying all that and no complaint. Hard-earned money just to waste it down the drain. According to the University of Pennsylvania and Center of Disease Control and Prevention, and the Dr. Colin Campbell, or these three agents have told us that the cost of meat for health alone, to take care of the people who are sick because of meat, the cost of it in the United States alone is around $120 to $150 billion per year, just to take care, for taking care of health-related, how we treat our life. Because we eat meat, we get sick, and then we have to work hard to pay tax, to go to the hospital and get dissected, get probed, and get injected. Okay, now the cost of cigarettes per year. For taking care of health-related problem concerning cigarette alone in the United States is $96 billion. the cost of alcohol abuse for the United States alone is $186.4 billion, okay? Up to now, it's all billions. The cost of drugs-related problem per year in the United States is $181 billion per year. Now, the cost of war for a year in the United States right now is $192 billion per year. Add them all together. This is all your money. Down the drain it went. And all this is from the World Health Organization statement, from the White House statement about drug control policy, and from U.S. Congressional research about armed control and non-proliferation. It's not for me. And the war, of course, is about weapon yet. It's nothing to do with even damage or rebuilding or helping the wounded personnel and soldiers and innocent civilians as well, etc., etc. So this is really too much. When we think of how we treasure our life, how we want to live long, how we want to be healthy, how we love life as is. Nobody really wants to die. Nobody really wants to get sick. But look at how we treat our life. We poison our system of the body by meat, by cigarette, by alcohol, by drug, and by war as well. This is not the way we should treat the precious life that we got. The more we say we love life, the more we should look at all these facts and turn around. I'm not talking about spiritual yet. This is only the cost of all the poisons that we've been taking into our precious temple of God, which is the body. I'm surprised. How can people don't think about it? All this talk about protecting life and protecting health and all the kind of preventive system to protect the health of the people, it comes to nothing if we continue to poison our bodies with meat, cigarette, alcohol, drug, and making war as well. Because all this money is a waste. We could have had better life for every citizen in the United States if all this spending money were given to them in a better education or helping the underprivileged, building a better school, getting better information for everybody, helping the disabled, helping the terminal ill children, spend it on research for medical treatment, etc., etc. And continue for this train. One serving of beef, we use 1,200 gallons of clean, good water. One serving of chicken, 330 gallons of water, clean and good. And one complete vegan meal, including rice or bread, and tofu, that is full of protein, and vegetables. It costs only 98 gallons of water. Now, we are complaining about shortage of water everywhere on the planet. We're complaining about shortage of food. We use 90% of grain to feed animals instead, and we leave 862 million people hungry. That is on 2008 alone. For the grain that we use for livestock, we can feed 2 billion people, many times over for the war hunger people that we have right now. So I do not understand, truly, from all the intelligence that I have, would somebody explain to me what kind of world we are living in, and what kind of policy we are following, and what kind of kindness we are doing to ourselves and our fellow beings, not to talk about animals yet. Because we cannot even love our own species. So it would be incomprehensible, of course, for many to understand how to love animals. Now you know why. In Ohio alone, the climate change is going to cost that state $1 billion. Because the water bordering their state, the lake, will be going down drastically due to climate change. And they will have to rebuild their harbors and infrastructure to meet the new level of water, new demand. So that climate change, it will cost more. And why? Because of meat diet. All we do is just forsake that piece of meat on our plate and replace it with protein from vegetable kingdom. We have food to eat. We have choices, and they are wonderful. They are nutritious. It's not like we don't have choice. We don't have to kill to live. We don't have to degrade ourselves into murderous agent of the planet. We can live and let live. The way it is right now, it seems like we will be working forever, forever busy, just to pay tax. Because we earn the money, and then we have to pay tax so that we can have our sickness repaired, you know, our body checked up, and that not even guarantee that we can live. That is the point. So much suffering, so much medicament, so much blood test and x-ray and operation and all that. All this doesn't even guarantee that our life will be saved. Due to the way we don't treat ourselves kindly, due to the way that we are taking poison for food. Meat is poison. Scientifically speaking, physically speaking, I am going to leave out the religious aside right now because, you know, people will think I try to convert them. I don't want to convert anyone. Because the more I convert, the more I have to work on it, yeah? So, it's good enough for me if people just go veg, do good deed. That's all I ask. Go vegetarian, do good deed. Yeah? Whatever good, you do it right away. Whatever bad, you stop.
Doing good right now, including saving the planet. That means go veg as well. So it's all boiled down to going vegan. Okay, if you cannot go vegan, please go vegetarian first. Because if we don't eat meat, even though we eat cheese, there will be much, much less stock raising.
And it will be much less killing on the planet. And it is the killing karmic retribution that contribute to the danger of our planet right now. But just scientifically speaking, meat eating contributes to 80% of global warming and pollution. So if we just throw that piece of meat out of our mind, then the planet will be saved, and you will have a longer life. And mark my word, you will be much happier person. You will be less anxious, sleep better at night. You will have no sickness. If all the planet people go vegetarian, we will have no sickness, almost zero. Because the vegetarian people also get sick sometimes. Due to their immune system is still not completely recovered because they have not been vegetarian since child, most of them. And then other people who are not vegetarian get sick all the time and then transmit it also to the poor vegetarian people. But if all the people are vegetarian, nobody gets sick. So talking about our life is sacred. It begins with us. Let's begin with the human life. Let's treat us with all kindness and respect to the body that has been toiling day and night for us to enjoy all the pleasures that life has to offer. Let's begin the sacred life with us. Let's begin to treat our life more kindly by turning to nutritious food instead of poisonous food like meat, cigarette, alcohol, drugs. War will stop if we all turn vegetarian, in any case. The best is war stop. Also before vegetarian, but if not, the war will stop. Because once we are vegetarian, we know why we are vegetarian, our heart will be more compassionate, and it's automatically we don't want any war. So it's amazing, you know, that we still can produce children and, you know, do anything else in life for all the poison that we take into our life every day. But would anybody ever stop for a few moments to ponder themselves? What kind of world we live in? Is this the kind of world that we want? That's it. That where we have to kill to live. Or we have to murder lives in order to survive. Or we have to even murder each other to survive. This is not truly the kind of life, the kind of world that we want to live in. We want a better world. We want more compassionate, loving world. So we have to turn around and work to build that world. It's a good thing that we should not be extravagant, yes? But extreme asceticism also very tiring for the mind, and the mind will rebel. Anyway, so we have to treat ourselves nicely, no extreme, because God has created all things for us to enjoy, yeah? Asceticism is not going to save our world, extravagant either. So God has created enough water for us, enough food for us, to last even forever. If we but know how to stop abusing the earth resource and her sustenance, we should not kill our fellow being to satisfy our greed. And this is the main point of planetary problem right now. Our overly spending of our moral merit and world resource. All these changing bulbs and new car technology and sparing water, don't take a shower too long and don't turn on the tap water while you're cleaning your teeth. All this is fine, but they are just scratching the itch outside of the sock. It will not ease our itch. It only makes matter temporarily forgotten and cover the real problem and cover the real solution. It just distracts us from our real goal, real solution, yes? And the planet will get worse if we just keep doing these scratching outside the sock things. Yeah, we have to scratch on the skin if we want to ease our itch. What I mean is, yeah, we have to address the main wound, that is the meat production. And everybody who has the chance to know and has the power to know should know by now that meat production is the main cause of global warming. And stop meat eating is the main solution to save the planet. I do not understand why we don't go there. If somebody with intelligence explains this to me, I will be very grateful if I have a good answer for that. Meanwhile, we just have to continue doing what we do, because we need to save this planet to pass on to our grandchildren. If we live the way we do now, meat eating, drug, alcohol, a cigarette, all that, and killing each other, killing the animals, I don't know how we really can answer to our own conscience. I'm not talking about religious obligation, nothing at all. Yeah. Ever wonder what kind of example we want to offer to our children when they grow up? Yeah? From all the goodness, the well manner that we expect from them. Yeah. If we tell them to be frugal, or don't take shower too long,
or even don't leave water running while brushing their teeth and all that.
And even suppose we don't take bath anymore, even all of us. Suppose we don't brush our teeth anymore. Suppose we don't even drink water. How much water do we save? 30% more or less. What good will that do to us? When we just stop eating meat, then we have 70% plus water to use. You can take as long bath as you want. You can have 3-4 swimming pool in your house. Nobody will say anything. And you will never feel any guilty. You never done anything harm to the planet. Just leave that piece of meat out of your diet. Let peace begin on your tea.
Thank you, Supreme Master Qinghai, for such thought-provoking information.
Vegetarian or vegan should be the norm in the society right now, should be the official solution, the immediate solution, the immediate effect for our planet. The government, the media, should please help. Thank you.
We enjoyed your presence today for the rebroadcast of the live Climate Change International Conference with special guest Supreme Master Ching Hai. Join us again on Tuesday for Part 7. A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms is up next after noteworthy news here on Supreme Master Television. With God's grace, may your life flourish and bloom in joy and peace.